Good morning and welcome to Focus. I'm Kimberly Cronick for Craig Cohen. Well, next week, millions of people will fly or drive short and long distances to visit loved ones for the Thanksgiving holiday. You may have plans to be with an aging parent or parents still in their home or an apartment. When you visit, you might see or hear things that disturb you. Is it time to have a talk about your loved one's care and living situation? If so, how do you do that respectfully? As we age,
and anything that the senior may feel that they would need some assistance with, we're just that friendly neighbor to assist them.
And how many seniors are you serving, and with how many volunteers?
We have served over 1,000 seniors in Piatt County, and we have approximately 346 volunteers presently.
And you started it, was it 97?
Correct.
1997. Okay. Roxana, you're a caregiver advisor with the Family Service of Champaign County, the oldest private social service agency in the county. Your agency's been around since 1911. Tell us about the Senior Resources Center and what your center provides.
The Senior Resource Center provides many things. We have counselors that assist people with programs that advocate for benefits. We help with Medicare Part D planning. We help with different things, LIHEAP, circuit breaker, which no longer exists except for the license plate. So we do many things. We also have the Elder Protective Services Department in our agency, and we have home care. We also provide transportation and Meals on Wheels. My program, the Caregiver Support Services, I support family caregivers who are taking care of senior parents or neighbors or friends. I also work with grandparents raising grandchildren.
Okay. Well, with the holiday just next week, Thanksgiving is next Thursday, many of us are going to be traveling near or far to be with loved ones over the holiday. What are some of the signs that family members or even a close neighbor or a friend might notice that might indicate an older person can no longer live alone without some help?
One of the things you'll notice usually is a decrease in attention to their personal appearance. Another thing is driving ability. You may notice they're driving a little dangerous, erratic. Loss of mobility. It could indicate that they're having a fall or their balance is off. Decreased appetite and interest in food and cooking. They're not managing their medications well. Reduced attention towards bill paying. You may notice that their bills are not being paid, their power may be cut off. Also, communication skills. It's the lose it, if you don't use it. They may not have, communication going on with people, so they have difficulty finding the words and expressing themselves and their needs. Memory loss is something that they try to compensate for, but it is something that's noticeable to people that are close to them. And depression. There's a lot of depression in seniors.
Okay. So if I'm traveling and I visit my parent or I notice my neighbor, for example, what either Julie or Roxana, what is it that I could say or might say that is both respectful but also allows me to share a concern that I might have? Any tips on that?
I have several tips that I could share. I think that the conversation should begin, even at the time of with this family meeting, but also it may be a time that you would have to visit this conversation many, many times. It's not just perhaps a one-time thing, but I think that as family members, we cannot go into the home with preconceived ideas about what the parents, how they would react. Like, perhaps my mom would never want to move out of her home. But in reality, if you could bring that up, she may be very, very open to that. And if you do that in a very respectful way. We should also approach the conversation with an attitude of listening and not so much telling. Perhaps by saying, "Dad, have you thought about what you want to do if you needed more help?" As opposed to, "We really need to talk about a plan if you get sick."
Mm-hmm.
We should also make references to ourselves and how we feel about the future as well as themselves, but always let that senior feel as if they're a part of the decision-making process. I think we need to be straightforward with our concerns, but like you said, in a very, very respectful way. We need to phrase our concerns and questions so that the senior is making those conclusions and those decisions on their own. And again, also embracing the whole family and being respectful to the other siblings to engage them in the conversation as well.
Well, and if you've just joined the conversation on today's Focus, we are discussing how to have that talk with an aging parent about caregiving or housing options and ways that you could stay in your home or apartment as you age. I'm joined by two in-studio guests, Julie Gloy, Executive Director of Faith in Action in Monticello, and Roxana Webb, Caregiver Advisor with the Family Service Senior Center in Champaign. We welcome your stories, your conversations, your questions. You can give us a call to join the conversation, 333-9455. Or 800-222-9455. You can also email us a question or comment at will-talk@illinois.edu. Is there a general understanding of why it might be hard to have that conversation with a parent or neighbor? What do people run into that makes it difficult? It makes it sensitive.
For one thing, they feel threatened. When you start mentioning you may need to look at other housing options, their first thought that occurs to them is they want me to go to a nursing home. But there are many options out there. Nursing home would be the last. And another thing you have to remember is the parent is always the parent and the child is always the child, no matter the age. And so it's a touchy subject when you start suggesting things to your parents that they need to do. But to add to Julie's conversation, I think that it's never too early to discuss these things with your parents.
So let's say maybe you're in your 50s or 40s, your parents are in their 70s, they seem healthy, how do you have that conversation, or are there examples of parents initiating that conversation with their adult children?
In my experience, usually the parents do not initiate the conversation. It's usually the adult children that should approach it with, should this happen or should this occur, what would you like to do? What housing option, should you not be able to live in your home any longer, would you like to do? That's why I say discuss it early before there's a crisis and a decision has to be made. Get their input and their plans as to what they need to do.
And how do you do that if you're not an only child and you have siblings? What kind of conversation might you have with them? Does it happen before you talk to a parent? Does it happen after? Does it happen at the same time? What's your experience with that?
Usually, I find that the families engage in the conversation actually when there's a crisis. But if it was a perfect world, I really feel that the children should engage in this conversation prior to. I agree with Roxana. And perhaps, the saying is, there's no place like home. For me, there I would engage the conversation, what do they need help in their home, if they can stay in their home. But if there's some indicators that they need some help with their nutrition or perhaps medication management, that's when perhaps they should seek out maybe an assisted living or supportive living facility. Or perhaps they just need the socialization. That is a huge component to our lives, is the socialization, that they need people around them. And so perhaps they could live in an independent living facility as well, where they will have the interaction with other seniors that they can engage in conversation, and that meets a huge need for the senior, as well as providing the meals for them. And then, when they're living independently, they could still drive if it's safe for them to do so.
So we've mentioned a bunch of terms here that fit with housing. We've talked mm-hmm. about a supportive living, assisted living. We said nursing home. We talked about help in the home. What are actually the options as we get older, and if we're not able to stay in a home or an apartment? What are our options, and how? What are the different costs associated with that?
Well, there's assisted living, which the average cost is about $36,000 a year. Assisted living, there's some things that you would pay a la carte for help with. Supported living is a step up. They provide a little bit more care that's built into the amount of money that you're going to be paying. You would really need to contact the facilities and determine from that. Read what is standard in their policy and plan for it and price range, and then see if there's things extra that you need to pay for.
And does Medicaid or Medicare help with any of these housing options?
Medicare does not. Medicaid will help with supported living, depending on what your income is, the general rule is you keep $90. The rest of your income goes to the supported living facility, and the state picks up the difference in what it is.
Okay. And assisted living is totally private pay.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So what if someone notices that, oh, my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to help my parents stay in their home, and there's these options, what are their ways of, you know, what should you say? Do you go visit that place with your parent? Do you visit it on a supported living or assisted living? How would you approach that? Let's say you've had the conversation. Maybe there's some interest in that. What's the next step?
I would engage my parent to go with me to do a visit and to have a list of questions and to make sure that that facility is going to meet the need of the parent at the present time. If it is that they need some help with meals and some socialization, then that independent living facility would meet that need for that senior at that time. Or even maybe they're doing very well in their home, but they just need a little helping hand. Perhaps their driving is, you know, maybe they're having some trouble with their driving. So they can stay independent in their home, but yet, on the other hand, you provide or find those resources, or the family member has to take that responsibility to provide that transportation to the doctor's appointments, to the beauty shop appointments, for grocery shopping. You just have to kind of do an assessment of the need of the parent at that time.
And actually, that's Faith in Action does a lot of what you are just talking about.
Exactly.
So we actually did a story on Faith in Action back in 2003. We did a television program here at WIL on caregiving as a basic human need, sort of people who want to care for or help those. And so we want to run that story. It's about a 4-minute piece. It features you, Julie, and some other folks. It's narrated by Amy Guida, and Jason's going to roll that now. Let's take a listen.
Art Finette is a volunteer caregiver for 86-year-old Avis Varner. Both live in Monticello. He and an organized group of volunteers take turns driving Avis between Monticello and Champaign, where she's received dialysis 3 times a week for the past 6 years. Avis's husband, Steve, is too frail to drive Avis himself. Over the years, Art has gotten to know Avis and her family during their drives.
My giving her a ride is helping her. It's helping her because Steve can't drive her over here. But it helps me because it gives me a better appreciation of the blessings that I do have.
It's hard to accept help at first because I was always the one that was taking people and going to the nursing home. And you come to this full acceptance that this is what life is, and you do have a life.
And she is such a cheerful person, a caring person, that it became very easy to become very attached to her.
When Art retired in 1993, he looked for a regular opportunity to give. He wanted to help the elderly with chores and transportation. He found the perfect match with Piatt County's Faith in Action program in Monticello. Julie Glau directs the program. It started in 1998 with 100 volunteers. 5 years later, it's grown to 255 volunteer caregivers and nearly 400 people served, mostly senior citizens.
When I go and I see the need of the senior, they may need a whole gambit of things, and then I just look through the volunteer file and from the time that they are available to what they like to do, then I organize the care around that.
Faith in Action has chapters throughout Illinois and the United States. The Piatt County chapter began as an outreach project of the Piatt County Nursing Home, funded by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Nursing Home Executive Director Carla Bradley wrote the grant, and she and a team interviewed seniors and their family members throughout the county to determine their needs.
Seniors really wanted the services brought to them in their own community, in their own home.
The 100-bed facility at the Piatt County Nursing Home typically runs full and has a waiting list.
We would visit with family members frequently that were on our waiting list that said, you know, if we just had a little help at home, we might be able to stay there longer.
Faith in Action volunteers range in age from 13 to 86 years old. Stephanie Adams is a 17-year-old high school student from Monticello. She's one of several volunteers who helped 97-year-old Clara Schull.
I appreciate the age difference a lot, and I just learned from her, you know, and how she has lived and set examples for me.
Oh, she's a good helper. Boy, she can see stuff to do, and she'll do it. She's good.
Some believe that the need to give care is a basic human need. Faith in Action knows this. They regularly provide a team of caregivers around one person. They once provided 40 volunteers for a young woman terminally ill with cancer.
We also provided transportation for her medical appointments. We took out her garbage. We raked her leaves. We mowed her yard. We planted her flowers in her flower bed. We did her laundry. We did her cleaning. We did everything that we could in order to maintain her at home until she needed more care. We were able to provide hundreds and hundreds of hours, of volunteer hours, for her for the last 16 months of her life.
So, Julie, that was you talking back, you know, in 2003 about what you provide, the volunteer services. How would somebody who may notice a parent might need a few things that they maybe as a child can't provide, how does someone get connected to Faith in Action? And do you have to be of a particular faith or a particular religion? How does that work?
Actually, most of our referrals comes from the senior or the family themselves, that they do see the need. And I think that for the family to contact us, they're still working. And so if they find themselves having to take hours away from their job, there's less productivity, that if they can ask for assistance, then we can help them out so that they can continue with their day. We work with all denominations within Piatt County, and some people are not, they don't even have a particular faith, but they have got a willing heart to serve others, and they've got the time. And then we go through an orientation and give them some guidelines and some tips to help them and empower them in their caregiving. And usually it is a great connection. A relationship forms and a new friendship forms. And that is just like Art said, it's just a blessing.
And what are the volunteer needs that Faith in Action have right now that might help a senior stay living in their home or apartment or a loved one, if it's a parent, for example?
It was just what I've stated in the past. The transportation is a huge need. We've worked with a Piatran to provide senior transportation. Oftentimes, the senior does not feel comfortable driving. They do feel comfortable driving in their small community, but not necessarily coming into Champaign or Decatur. So we provide that transportation for them. Also, nutrition is a huge need. And so we have brought meals to those communities in Mansfield and DeLand and the rural community. We've partnered with the Piecemeal Program to bring nutrition to the senior. And also I think the chores is a big need for the senior. They just don't have the stamina to perhaps rake those leaves, or maybe their steps are just too much for them to even lift their leg before they get that knee replacement. And so oftentimes we have built ramps to assist them so that they don't have to exert that energy. And then our ramp guys, so to say, have built 55 ramps this year.
That's great. And what is this cost? Is there a cost for the person, either the family member or the senior, to have these services?
There is no cost. It is a volunteer base, but donations are appreciated and accepted because we do not receive any state funding. We rely only on the local dollar to make this program go.
Okay, we are talking about having the conversation with loved ones or an aging parent about caregiving and housing options, and we have a call that we want to take. I just want to remind you that we are talking to Julie Glau from Faith in Action and Roxanna Webb from Family Service Senior Resource Center, and we do have a call. Paul from Champaign, go ahead, please. Champaign County, go ahead.
Yeah, my mother's already got her eye on a place, and I've looked at it a little bit, and I'm fairly happy with it as a choice. I haven't really gone in and spoken with them, and this is in downtown Belleville, Illinois, and my mother's got low vision problems now, and this is a place where she could walk to a lot of her amenities, but the place doesn't look like it's designed for, you know, walking people. And she dropped something, and I guess I could... She thought that they wouldn't let her walk away from the place in some ways, that she would, and I don't understand that quite. I don't know if I'm being clear, but you know, there are some problems. There needs to be sidewalk leading to the next sidewalk. It's only about a half a block, but I'm actually thinking, since she's not going to be doing this right away, I was thinking of actually working with the place and the city. But it just seems to me that she may be right, that she would be giving up a little bit of her freedom to be in a place like this. And I don't know if you can comment on that. I mean, obviously not the specifics, but does that sound like a general policy that...
I guess my question for you, Paul, is it an independent living facility, or
it's,
you...
It's a combination sort of place. It offers, you know, care, and there's a nursing home next to it that has staffs with people, so they have good relations with them. But as far as, well, if it's true I guess I need to do some homework, but I was just thinking of any tips for how to approach them. I don't want to make them defensive and saying, you know, what is this, low security facility, or is this... I mean, it's not very independent if they're not allowed to walk away from the place. I mean, there's a YMCA and the church and the library are all within reasonable distances.
Excuse me, Paul. That's why it's so important to shop around. You know, shop around and find a facility that meets the needs and desires of your parent. If she's able to walk and she wants to be able to be somewhat independent by going to the church herself or whatever, shop around and find a place that would be able to provide that safe atmosphere that she can still do those things.
Well, I don't think there are actually many, but this one actually looks like a good prospect. But then this idea that they wouldn't be happy if she were, leaving on her own or something, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I guess I need to...
discuss it with the facility. Talk with them about it. See what their policy is and try to determine if that's still the place for your mom.
Right. It's just a bit frustrating because I really don't know how to quite approach them. I don't want to... she's content where she is right now, living in her own house. But there's time to work this out. All right, I guess I need to go right in there and just see what the deal is. So, thanks.
Great. Thanks for your call, Paul. And I want to invite other people to call in if you have a particular situation or question on your mind. We are talking about how to have a conversation with an aging parent about caregiving and housing options and ways that we can stay in our homes or apartments as we age. I'm joined by Julie Gloy from Faith in Action and Roxanna Webb from Family Service Senior Resource Center. Your calls are welcome at 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. That's 333-9455, 800-222-9455. Or you can email will-talk@illinois.edu, will-talk@illinois.edu. We need to take a short break. We'll be back in a few moments. Okay, here we're back. We do have a call coming in. We have Tony from Champaign has a question, I believe, about insurance. Tony, let's take your call, please.
Yeah, I have two quick questions, and then I'll hang up and listen over the radio. One is, have your guests seen long-term care insurance help any of their clients? And two, my mother lives in a different county. If I brought her into this county, are there any ramifications of her coming in from a different county, or would there be any surprises in store for us, does it not matter that she's not a resident currently? And if those questions are sufficiently clear, I'll hang up.
Okay. Who would like to take Tony's question? Does it matter if it sounds like he's concerned and wants to bring his mother here or parent here? Is there anything to be concerned about that?
None that I've come across. Usually it doesn't matter.
Okay. And what about this question of insurance long-term?
Some people have long-term care insurance. It covers different things. With long-term care insurance, it's best to read the policy through to determine if it's going to meet the needs that you need it for.
And where would someone go to find out more about that, about what it would take, or who to get guidance on that? Anybody?
It would be best to call the place that you bought the policy from and talk with them.
Okay. We have another call here. Irene from Urbana on line 2. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I just want to put in a plug for mass transit. I always felt, as when I did work for Family Service a long time ago, that this was the place to get old, and I am now convinced of it because of the wonderful mass transit system. I live alone. I'm 86, but I'm ambulatory, so I can get on those buses, and they go everywhere. And they are extremely solicitous of old people. Now, the other thing which I recently qualified for was ADA. This is the Americans for Disability Act, because I had to go someplace that the bus didn't go. So I had my first experience with the ADA bus. Of course, one has to go to the end of the driveway to get in that bus, but that is a bus for any disability, wheelchairs, anything at all. So I want to say that mass transit is wonderful, and it's out there, and it props you up so that you can live by yourself if you are healthy enough to do that. And that's all I wanted to say. Should I hang up now?
Well, we appreciate the call, Irene. Thanks. Julie was talking about transportation, how important that is for folks to be able to stay independent and be in their home. It sounds like that's been the case for you. Okay, so we'll go on to another call. We have Joan from Champaign on line 3. Go ahead, Joan.
Hi, I have a question for Family Service. I do live in Champaign, and while I'm quite mobile and quite independent at the moment, I'd like to know what kinds of services might I be able to acquire through Family Service if suddenly I need help with shopping, laundry, cleaning my kitchen, and things like that. And would these be things that I would pay for myself?
Family Service, we do have a home care department, and they could help you with the housekeeping, the laundry, the shopping and errands. We also have a transportation department that could provide you with rides and set you up for transportation service. And the home care is a fee. There's a fee for that. Transportation, there is not.
Okay, and then I had another question, and that is, can you tell me about Meals on Wheels? For example, say I had, maybe I broke my foot, and so I would need help maybe for 2 months. Would I be able to sign on for something like Meals on Wheels for a brief period of time?
Yes, you would. We provide Meals on Wheels for a lot of people that are in temporary need due to injury, surgery, or things that happen to us. And you would call the 352-5100 number and ask for the Meals on Wheels department, and they would be glad to set you up.
Okay, and then my next is more of a more than a question, I guess. But I've been hearing that you all having, you and Faith in Action, having a lot of difficulty finding volunteers to provide transportation for people who need to go to doctor's appointments and so on. Is that true? And if so, what kinds of volunteers are you really looking for? Do they have to be a certain age, et cetera?
No, we don't put an age limit on volunteers. We can use them in several ways. We need volunteers to help with Meals on Wheels delivery, and we do have volunteers that assist with the transportation.
And if one's interested in volunteering, who would they contact?
Call that 352-5100 number and ask to speak to the volunteer coordinator.
And what about the local Faith in Action?
That number is 352-2022.
And are you having a problem with volunteers for transportation also?
For our program in Piatt County, no, we do not. But,
okay.
But I'm not aware of the Champaign
number. Okay, but you're in Piatt County.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks for your call. I want to let our listeners know that on our website on will.illinois.edu/focus, for this particular show, we do have a link that has all the Faith in Actions in Illinois. So if one wanted to know more about the other organizations, just go to will.illinois.edu/focus, find the link to that, and you'll see all the ways to contact the Faith in Action throughout Illinois. We also have that the story that you heard. The video is also there if you want to take a look at that. We are getting some calls, and that's great. I want to remind you that we'd like to hear your call, too. We'd like to hear from you with your questions and comments about, you know, if you're going to have a conversation with an aging parent, if you notice some things that maybe you think they need some help, how do you have that conversation? Or if you're someone who is up in years and you're able to stay in housing or you need to make a switch, we're talking about those things here today on Focus with Julie Gloy from Faith in Action in Monticello and Roxanna Webb from Family Service Senior Resource Center. I'm Kimberly Chronic for the show today, and the number to call is 333-9455 or 800-222-9455, or you can also email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, one of the things that came up is, what if you are visiting a parent, you know, they live far away, okay, so you're not in regular contact, maybe you do visit on those holidays and birthdays. What can a family member do who lives out of town to help an older person who might need some help? What do you do in that case?
Well, that would be considered a long-distance caregiver, and you need to make hay while the sun is shining, because you need to address any issues with the parent at the time that you're in the home. I think face-to-face conversation is the best. And just be honest, be caring, and again, engage that loved one. And you may have to actually put the pieces of that puzzle together for your parent to allow them to remain in their home, and then have, there's care managers that can provide that service for the parent, because it is difficult to meet the need from a long distance. You're going to have to rely on others, and it can be done. It can be done.
A lot of my caregivers are long-distance caregivers, and they rely on me to know resources in our community that will help their parents.
So they're probably, if you have a parent who lives far away and you don't know those resources, there might be a family resource center there, or there might be the 211 number, right, that other states have. Where would you suggest someone start with getting help, you know, in a community that maybe they don't live in?
They can call my office and speak with me, and I can connect them with a caregiver support person in that area.
Okay.
That way they can make direct contact and set things up.
Excellent. Okay, we have Lori from Muhammad on line one has a question. Go ahead, Lori, please.
Hi, I'll just ask it and then listen to the answer offline. So far, earlier you were talking about having discussions with an elderly relative or a parent, and they're open to the idea of change. What if they're not open to the idea of change and you do see evidence of health problems or other things and it's just going to get worse? You know what I'm saying? So far we've discussed what if people are open to looking for help. What if they're not? What do you do? And I'll listen offline. Thanks.
Well, I think that you need to – there's the conversation that we have had. It is the utopia, but oftentimes, like the caller had said, that the parents do get angry and upset. And you have to address those feelings very calmly, such as, I understand all this is really hard to talk about. It's upsetting for me, too, but it's important for us all to discuss this. And I think, again, engaging that parent and allowing them to have, their opinion and their say. If they want to stay in their home, then if they need to stay at home, what needs to be in place for them to stay at home safely? Or I am going to tell you, oftentimes if there is going to be a change in their living condition, even bringing them into the home, oftentimes the senior is very, very, open to a change because all they really want is their needs to be met and for them to feel safe and secure. That is really the bottom line with a lot of seniors. If they can sense that, if they can feel that, then I think that the conversation can go a long ways. And like I said, sometimes you have to start that conversation, and it may be a process.
And I think that also enlisting the aid of the primary physician for your parent is important because sometimes they can address the issue with the parent, and it has a little bit better results.
Are there any other folks besides a physician that the person who's concerned, the child, for example, could think of that might, again, help that adult maybe see things differently or be open to some change besides a physician? Is there, I guess, maybe a Faith in Action volunteer? I mean, is that an example?
Exactly.
You've got someone from the community, they're not family, but the family member mm-hmm. kind of knows and maybe brings them with to meet the parent, or how does that work?
Sometimes, the relationship with that volunteer, there is a respect. There's a mutual respect, and I do think that I'm going to refer back to Roxana. Sometimes when that discussion is very, very hard, I will call her to have her come in and even mediate in that conversation. And so she's been very, very helpful in many, many situations because she is the outside person. So she helps in Piatt County as well.
Great. Well, we have another call. We have Ruth on line two from Champaign with a question. Go ahead, Ruth.
Well, I was wondering if you don't have anyone who is sufficiently familiar with your lifestyle to tell whether you should not be living alone, what kind of signs should you watch for yourself?
Great. Thanks for the question. Julie, you want to start with that?
That's a very good question. I would say that if you have a void in your life, maybe it is a social, maybe you find yourself not being able to get out, you're not doing the things that you normally have done, maybe you're a very, very social person in the past, but you're finding yourself withdrawing, that could lead to some depression, and then therefore it affects your nutrition, perhaps your medication, you're not taking then your medication properly. If you just have a feeling of not feeling safe, that's even a time that the senior can even approach the family. I'm ready to make a change. Those are some indicators that, that's a call for help, basically.
And I think she was saying that, if you don't have anyone, let's say you don't have family, how does one reach out? If one of the things we said is people have a need to give care, that they want to be connected and support others, regardless of our age. Mm-hmm. So if I'm someone that doesn't have family and I'm not sure, you know, if I should be where I am, is there a way to connect me, or how do I reach out?
Mm-hmm. I think, again, what Roxana said, maybe speak with your physician, call Family Services or our office for the Faith in Action office. There's other agencies that we can connect them with to help make an assessment of their need.
Okay. Great. All right. So we are talking about caregiving. We're talking about housing options as we age. We're talking about visiting our families over the holidays and how we can have conversations with them when we do. And we'd love to hear your questions or comments or your experiences with the topic at hand. You can give us a call at 333-9455, or you can call us toll-free at 800-222-9455, or you can email us if you have a question or comment or you want to share a story. will-talk@illinois.edu is the way you can get in touch with us. Can you think of any do you have any stories that you could share with us about, you know, these times and the holidays? Someone comes to mind that maybe had a difficult case or a situation where they hadn't talked, and you know, there were some tips. I know, Julie, there's some caregiver tips that we can refer people to.
Mm-hmm. I'll just share a story that comes to mind. That there was a family member who was living out of state, and when she came home to visit, it was very evident that her folks both needed more care than what they were getting. Nutrition definitely was an issue. There was the father was driving. He had low vision. He was the caregiver for his wife, but in reality, the wife needed to care for him as well. And it was a very, very difficult situation. And so I recall that she called, and we were able to, I'm going to say, put Band-Aids on until she was able to get all those pieces into place. So nutrition was an issue, and so we hooked them up with piecemeal. Breakfast was an issue, and so I recall, you know, even delivering breakfast to them from and having volunteers to do that. And then we had a nurse actually go out and do an assessment so that it really confirmed in the daughter's concerns. And so then that nurse and that daughter was able to communicate, and then they were able to develop a plan of care. And I think that that was important.
So we've been talking about, you know, keeping parents in their homes, you know, with either some help or maybe them going into assisted living or supportive living. We have just touched on the word nursing home before. That is a housing option. Why it seems to be the one that people always see as sort of the last resort, but there are a lot of people that are in nursing homes or need nursing home care. Can you speak to that? I mean, I guess we don't want to say that, you know, nursing home bad kind of thing, right? How do you, Roxana, you know, talk with people about nursing homes and, you know, things of that sort?
If the care that they need is beyond what you can do at home or supported or assisted, nursing home care is available. And it's, you know, sometimes a reality that we need more care than can be provided in those other places. And you know, it's sometimes something that seniors really don't want to talk about, they don't want to think about, because then it is giving up, you know, their independence totally. But it's needed, and it shouldn't be looked at as something as this is it, this is all that's left. Just, you know, look at it open-mindedly. Like, I am going to receive the care that I need. It's the best care available for me. And there are lots of things that are good about that care.
And I think that times are changing.
Yes.
We talk about long-term care, but in reality, what I'm seeing is that often they need that extra care, but it's only short-term. they rehab and then they go back home, or they go back to their assisted living or their apartment or their previous living arrangement.
Exactly. It could be just short term.
So when you get calls at the Senior Resource Center, are you getting calls from seniors about with nursing home questions, or are you getting calls from their family members?
Being in the position I am, I'm dealing with the caregiver or the family member, so the majority of the calls are from them.
Okay. And I think maybe some of our listeners are what we call in the sandwich generation, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that where you may have children at home or young adult children, but then you also have parents who are elderly? Do you see a lot of people in that situation, and how do you support them?
We're just beginning to see that, and I think with the baby boomer generation coming on to the scene, so to say, I don't really know if we're truly prepared for what's going on. It's very, very stressful when you're caregiving for that child and your children, and then, of course, your parent as well. And I guess I would encourage those caregivers to find that support within their community through the caregiver support groups that are offered throughout both areas or their surrounding areas. I think it's very, very helpful. They'll get a lot of tips. They'll get a lot of support.
Call and ask questions. Caregiver support services are free. There's no reason for people not to call and ask for that help.
Great. Well, we have a few minutes left. If we want to get in one more call, if you have a pressing comment or a question you want to ask our guest, now's the time. 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. We are talking about housing options for us as we age. We're talking about having the conversation with our parents if we notice some things when we may be visiting over the holidays. Or you can email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. Julie, you talked a lot about nutrition as one reason why someone may need help in the home. What are some things that you would notice about that your parent needs some, you know, has some nutritional needs? What are the symptoms or signs?
Well, if they're losing weight, I'll tell you, I love to go into the home and open up the refrigerator for my own parent to ensure that there are things in that refrigerator. If I see that light bulb, we have a little discussion. So we want to see that freezer or that refrigerator have those nutrition, the food available for them.
We're going to take one last call. We have about a minute left. Cindy from Savoy on line one. Go ahead, please.
Yes. We're in our 60s. My husband has two long-term illnesses, both dementia and Parkinson's disease. And it's reached a point, I've been taking care of him at home, but it's gotten extremely stressful because behavior problems go with it. The problem is that he's adamantly opposed to going into any kind of nursing home, which it's kind of at that point at the level of care that I'm giving him. And I just don't know how to handle it because he's so adamantly against it, and it's going to be, how do you get him there when he's got no intention of going?
Okay, thanks for your call. We've got about 30 seconds for a reply. Maybe this is a longer conversation. She could call you, right, Roxana?
Yes, please call me.
What, the number again?
352-5100 and ask for Roxana.
Julie, any last words for the caller?
I just want to promote caregiver.com. You can go on the internet. It is a newsletter that they will send you. Caregivers on a regular basis, and it's filled with information.
Great. Well, we really appreciate having you on the program today. It was Julie Glau from Faith in Action in Monticello and Roxana Webb from Family Service of Champaign County. Thanks for talking about these issues with us. And we know you're available by phone, so some of our callers could give you a call after the program. And we want to know what you thought of the show as well. Give us your thoughts and comments about today's program on our website, will.illinois.edu/focus, or you can email them to us at will-talk@illinois.edu, and you can get our podcast by going to our website as well. Tomorrow's show is on MTV. Jeff Bossert will talk with Craig Marks and Rob Tannenbaum, authors of I Want My MTV. Tune in for that. The show is produced by Travis Danzel. Thanks, and have a good day.